There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bat Flip, episode 93. Going to recap the week in Fab as we usually do. This time, week 21 of Fab, as we are inching closer to September and the end of the baseball season. It'll be a fun one. We have some listener questions for you guys as well. You guys kind of be on the slacked a little this week. Just can throw it out there. You guys got to, I get it. It's football season for many, but it'll be a fun one. You can find myself on Twitter at BDentric and the Bat Flip portion of the podcast on Twitter at Bat Flip Crazy. Toby, how we doing, man?
We're doing all right. You know, the theme for this week's podcast, I think, is slip sliding away, you know, Paul Simon a little bit. Just been a rough start to the week, I think. Not a lot of hitting happening. Well, it seems it's like this weird dynamic of like there's not a lot of hitting on offenses, it seems like, but there's a lot of pitchers that are getting lit up. And it's kind of been the tale of the past month or so. Just there's not a lot of arms that you can trust out there. Yep, so
it's gnarly.
No, it is gnarly.
There isn't a lot of arms you can trust. Once you think you're comfortable, then like you think Giolito's back, Giolito gets roughed up. You think like a certain ace is back, they go, but Noah got roughed up. And they get roughed up. The worst part is they get roughed up in really good matchups. It's like you're facing a depleted Nationals team. You're thinking, okay, at worst, you give me a quality start with probably like 7 strikeouts. Cool, I'll take it. No, he gets destroyed. I don't have any Manoah, but I sympathize because I would have plugged him in everywhere if I had him. Like, you would not have not played him in that scenario, and that's happening in a lot of places, like you're saying. It's been rather when your usual plug-in plays are letting you down, it makes things even more stressful and more energetic. And we'll talk about some of the bigger pickups. I think this past week were some potential starting pitcher helpers for the season, so we'll have some fun talking about those. But, it's getting interesting. We have a good listener question that kind of sums up some of those feels about, when you're doing everything and it still isn't working out type thing. So that's a good question. We'll get to you on that one, but let's get cracking on this. We'll talk about the waiver wire as usual, get some listener questions, probably some banter and some side conversations along the way as usual. But this past week, the most added player, and this is a guy I love, didn't add him anywhere because I didn't get him, but Lewis Brinson added in 299 leagues, as high as 149 is what went for. And he's been on fire the last couple of weeks. As you know, you can't get those stats once you grab him, unfortunately. So that was something that kind of held me back. And when you kind of look at the grand scheme of things, yes, he's a former prospect that was really good. And yes, he's playing great ball pretty much in the month of August. There's nothing that can argue that one. But when you go under the hood more, it's like, a 405 BABIP, is that sustainable? Like, there's so many like little things that make you know the regression's coming. I still think he's going to be very good the rest of the way, but you got to be realistic. Like 270-ish probably average is what you're going to be looking for some pop, and he's not stealing bases either. So that was my only concern. I still put bids in, don't get me wrong, but that's where I was. Where did you stand on Lewis Brinson?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think, you know, with a lot of these guys, it's just BABIP and home run to fly ball rate, right? That's like the only major difference. And I think that's one of the challenging things with this is that's all it is, but it's still something, right? And at this point in time, if it's just moving, then we've got to try it out and see if they're
hot.
In
give
the
me
lineup.
A week of hot, like I'm in. Like
exactly. Yeah. And that's why I think that it's so important now to be looking at the schedule as well and seeing who has those matchups. I mean, a lot of the guys that we're putting in lineups now, skill wise, you know, there isn't a lot that differentiates them from anybody else that's going on. So anytime that you can get those quality matchups, anytime you can match up against the Orioles or whoever it is, you know, you always want to be doing that. But with Brinson, I got him last week in a couple places, I think, if not the week before, just because they had the Marlins had, I think, 14 straight games coming up or more than that, but like two straight weeks of seven games, including this week. But again, like he's the same guy he's always been. It's just you mentioned the BABIP is elevated, you know, hard hit rates right in line with like every single year. His plate discipline is actually worse than it has been throughout his career. His contact rate is actually like right in line with where he usually is. The home run per fly ball rate, you know, is elevated at 20% compared to 11.6% for his career. You know, so again, like everything that we're seeing him do is, I don't see a skill change necessarily. I mean, the ground ball rate was a little bit lower a week ago, but it's already getting back to the point where it was before with him. So again, like he's quality because he can hit home runs and because he can steal bases. You mentioned he's not really stealing bases. So we'll see if that ever happens. But there's now more playing time to spread around, though, as well, because you have Jesus Sanchez came back, yep. You know, so one more outfielder to kind of mess around with timing wise. So, you know, he's fine, but I certainly wouldn't break the bank for Lewis Brinson at this point.
Yeah, I was more breaking the bank on some of the starting pitchers we're going to discuss this week than I was for the outfielders, because the last couple weeks we were like, I got the Ortegas and the Yadiels and those guys where I kind of for once, and I'm probably jinxing myself now, I had a five outfielders I could use, which has been a tough dilemma most of the season. So now that I say that, you know, we have 5 days left in the week, something's going to happen. I'm like, I wish I had Lewis Brinson, but I digress. I also had to drop Edward Olivares everywhere, so that was fun as well. But I like Lewis Brinson. I tweet about it all the time because he's like the dirt minimum on DK and he produces, he hits cleanup, like he hits in a great spot in the order. This Marlins, this team is young. So we see it time and time again. I know it's just like you're not going to see it like on Savant or Fangraphs, but time and time again, towards the end of the season with these young teams, they're still playing hard where some guys are just like giving up on other rosters, just trying to get through the end of the season, as silly as that is. And you see some of these teams make runs and they're like competing for jobs next season. And you mentioned Jesus Sanchez just came back. Brian De La Cruz is playing very well. He's hitting like sixth or seventh in that order. So there are a lot of mouths to feed. So it's going to keep Brinson, should keep Brinson motivated to keep, you know, striving for that talent level. So we'll see. That's like the little, like, you know, excess stuff I think about that you can't see on the old computer. But we'll see. It'll be quite interesting to see for sure. All right. Eliezer Hernandez, second most added, 212 leagues, $119 was the max. And I was all in on Eliezer Hernandez because I loved him before he got hurt. He pitched one start, got hurt, came back, pitched one start, got hurt. This has been a trend for Eliezer Hernandez. He pitched one really good start again, 5 1/3, 4 hits, 1 earned, 4 strikeouts. When you like break it down through 82 pitches, which I'll take. He had only a 27 CSW. Still not bad though. Not bad. You'd like to see some more there, but he was moving his pitches around. He was getting the job done. I was happy with it as a first start. It was the Cubs. It's a grain of salt. But I know he's a guy that we've seen the pedigree from him, and you don't see that many type of guys available at this point in the season. So I didn't break the bank because I don't have a bank to break, but I was going like anywhere from 15 to 25 bucks. And that for me, that's breaking the bank right now. And I picked him up in most places. What about you?
Yeah, I didn't get him anywhere. He was only available, I think, in one of my 15-teamers. And yeah, I mean, I think he's been really good. I mean, yeah, he's been really good. I don't know if there's what else there is to say. Like, you know, essentially since the beginning of last year, it is only 37 innings, I guess. So very small sample. You know, he's got a low BABIP. He's got a super high, the highest strand rate you could have at 100%. So there's obviously those things. But when you look at the things that you're actually like, you know, the skills, 24.5% K-minus walk, 13.6% swinging strike rate, you know, above league average O-swing. Again, it's 12 and a half innings, but he's been doing this since 2020. And he's got a nasty pitch. The slider is really good for him. And he was a target for a lot of smart people this year. So it's been sad to see that he hasn't been able to pitch. But, you know, he's healthy now, apparently. You know, we'll see how long it lasts. But great, great ad. And especially if you were able to get him, you know, on the when he was on the IL still, you know, before things got too crazy. Because I think, I can't remember if it was this Fab period or last Fab period. They all blend together now. But, you know, where it wasn't clear that he was going to start yet. I think it was last Fab period. Like it was, it wasn't clear that he was going to start quite yet. That's when they're cheap. But that's also when it's harder to make that commitment to them in Fab, you know, because you kind of need
every one setback and now you just wasted your money again. So it's,
that's
I'm with you 100% because we were doing that early on. I did that with Nick Senzel and we saw that one bite me in the ass. But, like Eliezer, I wish I would have. I'm glad I got him. But, you mentioned he was doing this in 2020. I remember one of my bold predictions was the Miami Marlins would have the best pitching staff in the East, in NL East, because there's all pretty good staffs overall. And Hernandez was one of the reasons why. Like, he was like the fourth out of like a big five potentially, but they've all gotten hurt pretty much throughout this season, which is a big bummer. But yeah, I'm going to ride him as long as we can. Hopefully it's like four more starts, maybe five. Give me 5 to 6 innings to start. I'm cool with that. Because the reason I was aggressive, and we'll talk about drops later, but for this, for Eliezer and another pitcher I was really aggressive on, is one of my biggest holes on my teams that are doing well, if they're in third place or better, is wins and strikeouts. So I need starting pitchers. Like, it's very simple. So instead of going and streaming like Bailey Ober or Matt Manning or something like that, I'd rather spend more and try to get an Eliezer Hernandez or some other guys down the road and pray that they can be somewhat the guy we thought they were going to be. So,
hey, don't hate on Bailey Ober, all right?
He's one of those guys. Oh, man.
Like, I got him in one. I got him in one league.
He pitched well tonight. He pitched well tonight.
Yeah, he did fine. He did fine.
He's had some great outings and then some other outings like, wow, how are you in the big leagues right now? It's like he is literally that one. You throw him out there, don't watch the game. Just don't watch it. Just look at the box score at the end and pray it works out. So,
yeah, he's been doing better of late for sure.
True, definitely. And I know that Stuff Metrics from Eno, I believe he's one of the ones that rates pretty good there. I think a lot of it's because Eno said it breaks down. Basically, he's so tall, it makes a lot of his stuff, because the angles and stuff change so much that helps him a lot. But I know they've talked about it before. You have to go back and listen to one of the rates and barrels on it, but I'm pretty sure he was one of those guys.
I mean, I wasn't there. I know he's, I don't think he's on our list, but Ober's one of those guys where he came in and he wasn't that good. He had, I think, a couple lucky starts maybe. But then it's one of those weird things where, you know, maybe the regression kind of starts to hit, but at the same time, the skills improve. Like when you look at him, I mean, over his last five starts, 81.6% Z contact, 13.6% swinging strike, 5% walk, 25% K, 33% O swing. I mean, that's quality. That's all above league average for Ober. So I will fight to the death for Bailey Ober at this point in time. Earlier in the season, I was like, stay away from him. But
see, that was my problem. Early in the season, I was like, oh, sweet. I'm listening to Eno and them talk about it. I'm like, I'm going to grab him. So I took the bad starts, dropped them, and now the good starts are coming. So it's one of those lovely moments where I'm trying to stream pitchers because I need, like I said, I've been needing wins forever, like most people do. But he didn't look like it was going to come anytime soon for a while there. I'm like, nope, we're moving on. Yeah, should have held on a little longer. The next most added player in 210 leagues was Joe Barlow, a max of 204. Another fun one, Joe Barlow, like everyone wanted Patton out of Texas. He got the early look. He got the early looks as closer. But of late, Barlow's got the looks. He got a save on the 13th and the 15th, basically the two, there's the Friday and Sunday before Fab. He looked very good in his outings. He hasn't given up a run since July 3rd, and that's the only run he's allowed the entire season. So he's been very, very good out of the pen. What's your thoughts on Barlow, who's a guy that I think surprised, even like as much as we love Greg Jewett and Ryan Roof, he wasn't even really on those lists for most of the season. Like, this guy came out of kind of nowhere, which tells you a lot about, because those guys know a lot about this stuff. So what's your thoughts on Barlow?
Yeah, my thoughts on Barlow, could write a dissertation on Joe Barlow. No, I mean, I think he's fine. I think he's good. Like, all the skills are really good. He's been super lucky. And this is what, like, gets me, because this is, like, this is the all-encompassing reliever conundrum. And again, this is all coming from bitterness. I hope everybody's clear on that. But like, I had Spencer Patton everywhere. I got him for like $4. I think we were talking about him on the show. I was like, I got Spencer Patton. You didn't. And like, if you look at their numbers, they're like virtually identical. Like K minus walk rate, you know, swing strike. I mean, Barlow's better than him at O swing, which I think is a key piece. Yeah. But like in a lot of metrics, they're like pretty similar. And it's just like, for Barlow, he's got a 194 BABIP. And what it let me make sure I'm giving it to you right. He's got a 167 BABIP, excuse me, and a 91.7% strand rate, right? So he's not letting any runners that he gets on base score. And nobody who puts the ball in play is getting a hit. Granted, you know, the skills are really nice. 20% K minus walk, 14.1 swinging strike, 35.7 O swing. He's doing well in the zone at 81.2%. But when you look at Spencer Patton, like, especially for, you know, 22 inning and 14 inning samples, like they're doing pretty similarly. And the difference is that like Spencer Patton, when he first had his save opportunity, you know, walked the first two guys against the Mariners and was an absolute disaster. And then never got another shot, you know, and Barlow came in and he's doing the job and it's great to have him. I'd be super excited to have him. I mean, the thing about the Rangers is, and the thing about bad teams are really bad, but we saw this with the Diamondbacks earlier, right? They didn't get a save for 2 months, whatever it was, something ridiculous. But then who led the league in saves for the following month?
Soria.
It was Soria. Yep. And it's just because like they will win games at some point over the next 2 weeks, they will go 5-2 1 week, you know, somehow, right? They'll accumulate, you know, 20 wins and they're not that good. So they're probably not going to be blowout wins, right? And so there's going to be save opportunities for these guys down the stretch. And that's a long way of saying I'm very bitter, but I think Barlow was a great ad. He was my top reliever ad for this week. I didn't get him a lot of places because I wasn't willing to go quite there. But I don't know. I guess that's why we love 12 teamers is because we get guys like Joe Barlow for cheap.
My God, 12 teamers. Like, I think I want to just play all OCs next year because doing Fab the last like 2 months. The guy, like, I've gotten Herman Marquez, Bumgarner, Joey Votto, like the guys you get off the wire. Like, you're just like,
unopposed.
Like, oh my God, this is freaking amazing. Like, $21? What? I guess like I should have played, like I said, unopposed. I could put a buck for these guys. But even like this time of the year, when we recap my stuff, I won't say it all now, but I got four guys, I think, in a 12 teamer for a total of like $7. And when you hear the names, you're going to be like, what? Because I was shocked. I thought, like, there's no way at all. And they're all on my roster. So 12-team leagues, man, they're a thing of beauty. So all I got to say, it's something special.
Oh, man. God. But, I got Barlow. I bid $17 for him in an OC. Yeah. And I had a $1 backup bid. You know, I was like, wow, I got a backup bid. So, hey.
It's wild. It's wild times. The fourth most added player is Vladimir Gutierrez of the Cincinnati Reds. Picked up in 191 leagues, as high as $61. And this is a guy that early on in the season, more pitch to contact than he'd like, lots of walks, which would get himself in trouble. Last four starts heading into Tuesday. And Tuesday didn't pitch too bad either. The Cubs got a couple runs on him, but nothing too crazy. But going into Tuesday night, four straight starts of six innings or more, two earned runs or less, so quality starts, five or more Ks in three of the four starts. Overall, like the left on base rate is not what you'd be hoping for, but and a swinging strike rate's just around 10%. But overall, it was looking much, much better of late. Still, I'm not 100% a believer in Gutierrez. Like, he's one of those guys, I think he'll be pretty good, but the blowups are coming once in a while thing where you can't really sleep comfortably, especially in Great American Small Park. But he's serviceable right now. He had a two step this week. Were you interested in him this week? Did you grab him anywhere?
I did not grab him anywhere. He was not available in most of my, most of my 15 teamers. But yeah, I think he's one of these guys that like keeps on showing up in our list because, you know, he's
stream him for two, know. Drop him, stream him for two.
Exactly. And I think the last time we talked about him and I'll check just to make sure, but you know, I think his slider is a pretty good pitch. His slider is kind of the carrying pitch. Yeah. 18.2% swinging strike rate. 36.4%. It's kind of fascinating. I mean, you know, and so he had elevated the usage of that pitch and he was pitching better. And then of course, over his last five starts, he's actually been throwing that pitch a lot less. And so, I mean, I think he's blah, like he's just kind of like essentially like super mediocre. There's nothing that jumps out the page. He had a bad BABIP game tonight, which elevated his ERA to 3.87. Well, I guess it didn't elevate his ERA to 3.87. I guess it dropped. No, it went up. Well, anyways, the season ERA is 3.87, but he had a bad BABIP game. You know, he's got the strand rate and the BABIP are going to come back. And I think he'll have like maybe another couple games like this, you know, and all of a sudden he'll be like a 4.5 ERA guy with a 1.4 whip, you know, so just super mediocre. The two starts were intriguing for sure. But he's just one of these guys where he walks a ton of guys too. So there's a lot of base runners, I think we can say he's been lucky so far and his whip is 1.33. And so just not, I don't want to go there with guys like this down the stretch. It's just scary unless you need to, of course.
If you need wins, the Reds are playing great. Like, and you know, you got the Cubs. Like I could see the appeal on a two-start week for sure, but I'm with you. Like you mentioned the walks, until recently wasn't even really a strikeout guy. So you were praying, like you said, that the BABIP wouldn't crush him and he wouldn't walk like two guys and give up a home run type things and just destroy your ratios. Like at this point in the season, like you said, it was earlier. Okay. You take your game. I took a lot of dumb gambles early, like a lot. Now I'm focused on wins and strikeouts. To me, and I don't want to like destroy my ratios. I'm not like not worrying about my ratios. Like if like some people, like if you're screwed on ratios, you're screwed. So a guy like Gutierrez just scares me too much, I guess is what it is. Especially on a week like this where I can go get Elias or Yanoa, and maybe they don't have two steps this week. Yanoa should. Like he's questionable. He might throw Sunday, they might make push him Monday to be safe. I'd rather go for those guys knowing I'm gonna use them the rest of the season than going for Gutierrez thinking, okay, we're gonna drop him after this week. Let's just hope he doesn't crush us type thing. So yeah, that's where I'm at because I'm limited on fun. So you got to make every move count right now. Next up on the agenda, Connor Joe picked up in 187 leagues as high as 71. Pretty simple here. He's actually hitting very well home and road. The last like 2 weeks on the road at home, he's hit safely in all but three games over like the last 2 weeks. Great power, home and road, three at home or four at home, one on the road. So that's a little varying, but he's leading off for the Rockies. He had six games in Coors this week. This was one of the bigger no-brainers, like, hey, you got to at least put some kind of bid in on this guy because – and it's already paid off. He homered on Monday. He got on base, I think, three or four times on Tuesday night and scored, like, twice. Like, he's already paying off. He's got four more games in Coors. So, like, I don't – what were your thoughts? Because that was the easiest way for me, and I put bids in everywhere, and I got him, like, in three leagues. So I was pretty pumped on that.
Yeah, no, I think he was – I think you're right on. I mean, everything about him so far has been really good. You know, there's like really no complaints I can have about what I've seen so far. And when I dug in on him, and he was my top outfield ad for this week, 291 batting average, seven home runs, 13 runs, 25 RBI. He's walking a decent clip supported by a nice O swing. He's making higher than league average contact. He's hitting the ball in the air, 32.7%, you know, ground ball rate. He's hitting the ball decently hard. And then his exit velo stuff, max exit velo of 113 is great. He's already got 12 barrels, 12%, you know, barrels per batted ball event. You know, I don't see any issues at all. And then he plays half of his game in Coors. He's hitting leadoff. He's playing every day. I mean, he checks every single box. So I was able to get him in a few places. Probably not enough. I think he was already gone. I think he went on a lot of 15 teamers last week. But yeah, I liked Connor Joe a lot.
Yeah, and I think he's one of those guys. You know, there's been like the Jonathan Dawes's this year and some others where Joe's a guy I could literally see myself playing more than just Coors, or at worst, I'm holding you knowing you're going back to Coors next week type thing. It's not one of those where it's not you're streaming a bat. Like he's playing well enough, like you said, that he's hitting for a decent average, his on base skills, and he's leading off. He's going to get you counting stats, and I'm a big fan of that. So I think he's going to be a guy I'm going to stick with probably the rest of the way, barring some, you know, unless he just completely falls apart type thing. So
we'll see. Yeah, and just Bubba, because I know we don't talk about the English Premier League enough. We do have a little question here from our fellow Liverpool fan, SMMS79. He says, would you add Virgil van Dijk in an 11-teamer? The answer is absolutely. I mean, I don't even care what sport you're playing. Anytime you can add that quality, the best center back in the world, to your team, even if he's hitting in the nine hole, I add him even when he's coming off of ACL surgery. So yes, absolutely, you do that. They looked okay And then they looked great after Fabinho came on. He just makes such a difference for them on Saturday. So
yeah, because they returned last Saturday was the first the return of.
The first game was Friday, Arsenal Brentford, and then they had Saturday and Sunday games as well. But it was a really nice way to start our title win.
Because Liverpool won the last EPL, correct?
They won 2 years ago. Yeah, and then they had a lot of injuries, including Mr. Virgil van Dijk, who's the best center back in the world.
Who won last year?
Man City. Okay. I mean, could it be anybody other than Man City or Liverpool? Absolutely not.
You're asking the wrong guy there.
You don't do a soccer pod? I'm surprised.
Unfortunately, when we start adding 36 hours in our day, which is probably coming up, then soccer's coming into play. Definitely. Because I've learned, I talked about it. I can't remember what show I was talking to someone on. I've learned to appreciate soccer between going to a game at PSG a while back.
Oh, cool.
In college.
We could talk Messi all day.
I'm pumped. But this was back when it was Ibra and no one else really. Like, it was good. Okay. But and then in college at our fraternity, in the agricultural fraternity, we had two Brazilians living with us because they were majoring in beef production for Brazil. Mm. And it was the World Cup. And Brazil was playing at 6 in the morning, so we go to the bar with them.
So much fun.
You couldn't like soccer after that. I don't know what, all their Brazilian friends there, it was bananas. So,
so good.
New appreciation for soccer after all that.
Absolutely.
All right, back to the fab time. We have Carlos Hernandez picked up in 167 leagues, as high as $65. This is the guy I grabbed a couple weeks ago for cheap. I grabbed him a couple other places, I thought they were keep him honest bids. He showed up. He was dominant in his first three starts, one run or less. This last start against Houston, I was kind of worried about it. Gave up four runs. Most of them were late in that outing through six innings. Only one strikeout was a bit concerning. And when you kind of go look at his Savant page, only a 17% CSW rate, which is not ideal. He had the slider, four-seamer, and the sinker kind of all working together, but he wasn't getting a lot of swing and misses. It was they were hitting him and hitting him often, and he was kind of having to pray it would work. In the best case, the BABIP was only 266, thank goodness, or 286 in that game. Otherwise, it could have been really bad. But overall, he's another one of those guys in the stuff plus metrics and stuff. He rates out very good because he uses 3 to 4 pitches regularly, and that's helped him kind of get through his games. So I like Carlos Hernandez. I was in him more on him last week than this week, but what's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, you know, if he had had better matchups, if he didn't face Houston, I probably would have gone there, even though Houston's a little bit, down right now. I mean, Kyle Tucker, man, can we talk about Kyle Tucker?
COVID, they said at least this week. Like, there's not even.
Yeah, which yet. Is weird because he was out for COVID earlier.
Yeah,
we could go. Like, was he a close contact or?
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what to do. At least 1 week, so you'd think he'd have it, which is what he
called. Maybe he was a close contact last time, and then he is now. And I don't know. Either way, they have Casey in Seattle. The next 2 week stretch for the Astros is like unbelievable.
And Jordan's heating up again.
Unbelievable. Like, watch out. Yeah. So I didn't want to have that. So I wasn't after him for that reason. He's been on my radar a little bit just because the velocity is up. He's been one of the harder throwers in all of baseball, and that's always something that I'm looking at. But I just don't see enough there. I don't see it. Over his last, five games, three games, his K rate is 14.9%. Swinging strike rate is low. He looked absolutely filthy out of the bullpen. But since he's become a starter, the stuff isn't really there that much. You know who he kind of reminds me of? I don't know if this is a good comparison or not. Is Jorge Lopez, who was also on the Royals for a while. Super hard thrower, but just doesn't have the secondaries, to be effective, or at least hasn't yet. So it'll be interesting to see how he develops. Like, he's definitely like a guy for going into DCs next year. I think I'll be on, and maybe a late round guy.
100%.
Because there are those certain intangibles, right? Like, you can certainly coach velo, like you can increase velo, but a guy being towards the top of the league, right? 97.4 on the year, that's the type of velo that is hard to reach if you are not close to that, So
yeah, because you look at he wasn't getting swings and misses, but his slider was still averaging 85, his four seam was still averaging close to 97, his sinker was averaging close to 97. His fastball maxed out at 99.4. Then his curveball and his changeup weren't bad. He just was not getting anybody missing on him in this outing. Yeah. So like you said, he's got to fix some of that stuff, but he's so young still that I will be very interested in going into the next season to see what the development process is. Right now, looking at like his stuff there, you know, a guy we talked about, just for fun, would you rather have Hernandez or Vladimir Gutierrez if you had to pick one?
Oh, man.
Hernandez doesn't walk as many guys. That's the difference, I would say. But
yeah, I would. I think I'd go with Hernandez.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Bigger ballpark, too. Yeah.
Division, the whole shot. Yeah, well, yeah. I guess the NL Central's gotten easier, too, as we think about it. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that one goes.
NL Central's god-awful.
Yeah. All right, Tyler Wade added in 149 leagues, as high as $91. Getting a lot of playing time with Gleyber Torres out. Gleyber started taking infield drills on Tuesday, so maybe he's inching his way towards rehab. I'm guessing we still got about another week or so before we get some Gleyber action out there, and we'll see how good that is. Thumbs injuries, I'm not happy at all about this. But Tyler Wade's been playing pretty well. I was not in on him because I wasn't really interested in that position this week for my roster. But do you have anything on Tyler Wade? We kind of know who he is. I think he's playing above his skis right now. But, hey, Yankees are Yankees. They're hot right now, so roll with it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, this one's really like a this week's schedule type of one. I mean, if you look at what he did last week, I think he stole three or four bases, if not five bases, in a single week. You know, and so that's certainly going to get on people's radar. He's got the multi-position eligibility, second short, third outfield. So he's got everything there. And then this week, the Yankees were really nice. I mean, they've got five games first half of the week, three games second half of the week. So you knew that he was probably going to get into three of those games. Red Sox are not good at holding runners on base. The Angels aren't good at holding runners on base. The Twins are not that good at holding runners on base, I think. And so it all lined up to be like kind of that one week where you're like, I think I'm going to go in on Tyler Wade this week. So regardless of what the underlying metrics are, I mean, I think we're at the point where we understand that Tyler Wade isn't very good, but he can be good in fantasy because of what he is able to contribute. And I think with this week's schedule and him getting some run against right-handed pitchers, and I think them facing six out of eight right-handed pitchers, I think it was a really nice week to have him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's a weekly thing. Wouldn't be surprised if in 2 weeks when we're doing Fab, he's on the waiver wire everywhere again. So
for sure,
that could be very much in play. Luis Gil, is the way you pronounce it by listening on TV. He was added in 141 leagues, as high as 65. We've seen him in his first two outings, 6Ks, 8Ks, go at least five shutout innings in each. On Tuesday, he went 4 2/3 shutout, but walked four and struck out four. He was pretty filthy still. When you look at it, high 90, 98 on the fastball. He had a 25 CSW. He had a 37 CSW on the slider, which was very impressive. But still kind of I think he's still a work in progress. Like he's very, very good, but I think they kind of have to mold, like fine tune it still a little bit. But I think he's very good. It depends on how many more starts he's going to get. I liked him. I didn't get any shares of him. He wasn't like one of my primary bids, but what's your thoughts on Luis Gil?
Yeah, he was a guy who I was a little bit interested in when he had the two starts, when it looked like he might get the two starts. But the minute that the Yankees announced that Cole was going to pitch on Monday, I lost interest just because, you know, you have him going up against Boston for his one start. But skills-wise, I mean, he's been phenomenal. I mean, 25.6% K-minus walk, 13.3 swinging strike, 35.60 swing, 79.6% Z contact. So he's dotting every I, crossing every T. You mentioned like he hasn't given up a run. That's certainly not going to stay. So there's going to be some regression there and kind of some of the quote unquote luck metrics, but he's doing really well. It'll be interesting to see what the Yankees do with that rotation. You know, they've got Jomo and Cole back. They have Heal for one more start, you know, Cole going Saturday, Montgomery going Sunday. It'll be really interesting to see if they think about, especially after Heaney gets destroyed tomorrow. I don't do DFS, but I would certainly stack tomorrow against Heaney. You know, it'll be interesting if Heaney struggles, it would put Heal on tap for that Monday start at Atlanta. And so if that's the case, that would be great. He was gone in a lot of 15s, and he's one of those guys that's kind of like, if you have a 15 teamer, you know, you definitely want to get him. But if you're in a 12 teamer, there's not necessarily like the volume. There's enough question marks where maybe you're not as aggressive or better alternatives, or you think there are better alternatives. But he looks really good so far. So
yeah, he's another guy that I will definitely be looking at in DCs next year. Like, he's a guy I'll be very excited to see how that pans out, because Severino doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. So they might give him a little longer look here. We'll see. But with Cole coming back, he looked kind of Cole-like in his last outing. So that was definitely good to see. There's definitely lots to like there with Luis Gil as he's getting it going. All right, on this one, let me pull up this next game. I'm trying to get it figured out here, but it's taking its time. Huáscar Ulloa was the next kind of big one that got added here. He was added in 127 leagues, as high as $121. For some reason, I was trying to pull up his stats from Baseball Savant, and it's not, from Fangraphs, and they're not showing it on the game feed. So I do know he went 5 1/3, struck out 4. Didn't allow a run.
Well, yeah,
he pitched really well. He went like 80 something pitches, so he probably could have gone a little longer, but they wanted to keep it simple. His rehab starts were great. Him and Eliezer, I was all in on, and I got them in a lot of places this week. I was all in on these two. Strikeouts galore, wins can be there. I don't have a whole lot to say besides I'm so happy he's back, and I hope he does not punch any walls the rest of the way.
Yeah, for sure. No, you know, it was great. I grabbed him actually like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think, when he was available in some 15s, when he was coming back. So I have him at least in one place, which is nice. But yeah, I mean, he's been really good. I mean, he's a super great ad. I just wanted to say on the last thing about Cole is I hope, you know, there's this song. What's that song? And I pray, oh my God, do I pray every day. For a revolution. I can't remember who it is, but it's not Cowboy Junkies, I don't think. Anyways, I pray for Gerrit Cole, for people to still be low on Gerrit Cole, you know, next year. Like, people are talking about how, no, is he a first round pick anymore? Is, you know, with all this stuff. I mean, Gerrit Cole has been nasty. You know, his Z contact is down to 79.1% over his last 5. His strikeout rate is 40% over his last 5. His swinging strike rate is 15.3%. His walk rate is 7.2%. He's just absolutely filthy, people. So I hope he falls in drafts. Keep drafting all these other guys over him, and early, I'll just continue to draft Gerrit Cole.
Early drafts, you're going to get a discount on guys like him and DeGrom, especially if DeGrom doesn't pitch the rest of this season.
Oh, man. So I don't know if I can do that.
Well, that's the risk. But if you're willing to take some risk early on, you could get at least with Cole. But DeGrom, I'm intrigued still to this moment because he's still the best, like most money, like whatever fantasy dollars this season, and he barely pitched. I get it. I get the concern. But the Cole thing, eventually, I think by like February, we'll be back to reality. But for sure. Early on, people are going to be like, oh, no. And then eventually people will kind of get that out of their head, I think. We'll see. But Ulloa, what do you got on Ulloa?
Yeah, no, I like him. I mean, he was really good earlier this year, came on his walk, swinging strike, the whole everything. So, you know, a little bit of control issues if I'm not making that up. But I didn't do a ton of research on him just because he was gone or whatever. Yeah. So 21.8% came on his walk, 13.3 swinging strike, than league average O swing. This walk rate was at 6.1%. I mean, everything looks beautiful there.
And I tried to put like cheap bids in on the previous weeks as like backup bids, but I actually got the guys I was going for, so I never got Ulloa for cheap. But I didn't have to spend too much, I guess. We'll talk about that here in a little bit, so I was kind of happy there. There's a lot of other ads, like Yonny Hernandez. If you want speed, he's leading off for the Rangers. He was picked up 105. He was picked up 105 leagues. Aledmys Diaz is swinging a lot right now in the middle of the order and with some power because
Bregman is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, just won't come back, so he's in 100 leagues. Chris Sale got picked up in the 95 leagues. He was available. He wasn't available in any of my leagues, so that didn't matter.
He was only available in one of mine, and I got him.
How much did you get him for?
202.
Well, we'll talk about that in a bit.
202. It was the nastiest bid of all time.
What was the runner-up?
196.
Oh, that feels so good, doesn't it?
Oh, it feels good. Feels good. Yeah.
Yep. Yasmani Grandal's just went to AAA for rehab, got moved up to AAA, so he'll be back probably end of this week, early next week. He was picked up in 95 leagues. Frank Schwindel, I love him. I've been putting small bids in on him. I just haven't got him because my other bids go first, but he picked up in 95 leagues. He's hitting second now for the Cubs, and he got another double tonight. He's hit safely, I think, in like 6 or 7 games at least. So he's productive. Yeah, you got Tukey, Travis d'Arnaud's back. A lot of interesting ads here. Does anybody stand out to you or any thoughts on some of these guys?
I'm trying to see how Raylo did today to see if I should talk about him.
He did pretty well.
He did well. I was actually looking at the skills wise. He did fine there too. I mean, Ronaldo Lopez, Cy Young. This is the season.
If he puts a good month together, he's going to kill me for next season.
Let's see how many
like best balls in DC. It's going to be glorious.
Oh, dude, I have them in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, I only have them in 8 DCs. I love Ronaldo Lopez. So guys, Yonny Hernandez is definitely interesting to me. Hitting lead off, stealing bases, has really been good OBP wise. Not going to hit you probably a home run the entire season, but
yeah,
pretty good. Schwindel is playing every day for that awful Cubs lineup. You know, he was a guy. Jorge Mateo, I think of all the speedsters, was kind of the best one to go after. This week, David Price has the potentially two start. I don't know if they're actually going to do it. Let's see what RotoWire has right now.
They probably will. He just might not go deep in either one.
Yeah, he's got the Mets. So two home starts, one being the Mets. Anthony Bender, it was interesting because Bender got the two saves or the one save, I think, and a win in back-to-back games. And then Floro got the save on Sunday, but I still think Bender's probably the guy more often than not.
Bender pitched the ninth tonight when they were down 1-0, so like high leverage. Gave up a homer to Riley, but they put him in the big spot. So I think it's still his for now.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Tanner Houck, where he was available. Yoel Pozo. So I have Wilson Contreras.
Yep.
And he's on the IL. And so I picked up Pozo one place, and I picked up Varsho one place where I need a little bit of speed, more so than other things. But Pozo could be a real game changer because he's been a great hitter throughout, I only know about this year. Everybody knows about this year, right? In AAA, but he's playing every single day. And so you're going to get every single day plate appearances from catcher. I mean, honestly, if he hits 220, 230, he's probably better than most of the other catchers. And there's a little bit of pop, and he's going to get the plate appearances to get you those counting stats. So definitely would be a guy if he didn't go last week and he continues to play every day that I would be I'd be going after pretty hard. So those were some of the guys that I went after, but we can go over kind of ads and drops and stuff like that.
Yeah, let's start those ads and drops off. So why don't you get going and let us know what you added and dropped this past week.
All right. In my biggest league, Chris Sale, 202, dropping Ross Stripling, 196 backup bid. That one felt good. I mean, might not win the league, might not even cash because in fifth place, I think, right now, but we got Chris Sale, so we pretty much won. You know what I'm saying? It was like celebrations. Yeah. And that's a league I share as well. So it was particularly, it was fun to celebrate that one. Added Seth Brown, dropped Justin Upton. For a little while, I was petrified because like the chain of events was draft Justin Upton everywhere. He does well, gets injured, sucks. Then Adam Eaton begins to be the right-handed side of the platoon and he's left-handed side of the platoon. So I drop him in all of my leagues. That night after Fab runs, they DFA Eaton, and then he comes back the next day, hits a home run off a Cole against a righty. So I was like, oh God, he's going to play every day now, but he didn't play today against whoever it was he was playing up against. He didn't play today. So dropped Justin Upton. I just didn't feel like I hadn't had him in the lineup for a couple weeks and just couldn't keep on hanging on to him. And Seth Brown is playing against righties. I didn't see what he did today, but not very well because they scored zero runs.
Didn't do anything.
Yeah. But he's been playing against righties. Did he at least play? I can't remember.
Yes, he did.
He did play. Oh, he only played. He only got one at bat though. What?
I don't know what happened in that regards. I know Bassett got hit in the head with a line drive, got taken off a stretcher into the hospital. But the A's, after that moment, the A's didn't really do it. Like they were just all out of it the rest of the way.
Yeah. Well, Josh Harrison came back is what happened.
Yes, Josh Harrison is back.
So Seth Brown, maybe that's just going to be a one-week thing. Added David Bednar, dropped Spencer Patton. Added Jake Myers, dropped Sam Hilliard. This was a little bit of a controversial one. Mm. I think with Myers, with Tucker out, he played against the lefty on Saturday or Sunday, and he's been playing every day. He played today as well against a lefty in Lynch. Myers did, and so with the upcoming schedule that the Astros have, and also having Kyle Tucker on this team as well, and a couple other places. I was into Jake Myers. He hit for batting average, hit for power, hit for and stole bases in the minors, and has done a little bit of that in his short time up. So those were the guys. And then added Willie Castro, dropped Josh Lindblom, added Lindblom just in case he got into the starting rotation there somewhat when Lauer was injured, but Lauer ended up playing. Got Oscar Mercado, dropped Anthony Alford. I need stolen bases pretty badly. I wanted to get Jorge Mateo, but I was just a little under-aggressive, I guess, on Mateo. Ended up with Mercado, which I don't feel great about, honestly. Picked up Sewold, dropped Britton. I felt really good about this one, actually, and he got the save tonight because Sewold, you know, Diogo Castillo had pitched the seventh and the eighth in the previous times, and Sewold was out on paternity leave. And so Steckenrider had come in and was pitching earlier. But before that, it was really Castillo and Sewold pitching the eighth and ninth. And it seems like they're going with Sewold right now. And that could be huge because Sewold is probably the best relief pitcher this year.
He's awesome.
He's been absolutely phenomenal. So to have that quality of a pitcher, in addition to maybe having that guy get saves, I feel super good about. Picked up Dalton Varsho, dropped Justin Upton. This is where I lost Wilson Contreras, and then added Jake Myers, dropped Edward Olivares, added Rowan Wick, dropped Alex Cobb. Well, guess who got the save today? Cody Hoyer. Wick pitched the seventh. He also doesn't strike out a lot of guys, so he doesn't have any utility whatsoever when he's not getting saves. So we'll see what the Cubs are going to do. Maybe he'll get an opportunity later this week, but he's probably an immediate drop. I dropped Alex Cobb because he hasn't thrown. And they
there's like no timetable right
there's
now.
There's nothing. Man. And why would the Angels push him at all? Why? You know, he's done. And then I added Renato Nunez, dropped Ramon Urias. Urias had been injured, and then Mateo was getting a little bit more playing time. So he was sitting every third or fourth day. And so I moved on from him. added G-Man Choi, dropped Harold Ramirez. Ramirez went to the IL. Probably going to be on there, I don't know, 2 weeks, maybe more. I just didn't want to have him on my bench for that. He's not good enough for that. Added Brent Rooker, dropped Ryan Yarbrough. I'm done with Yarbrough. If he's not, he doesn't have two starts a week. I mean, he went on the IL, but I was going to drop him anyways. Like, if he doesn't have two starts, he's getting you, what, 3 to 5 strikeouts, which I can probably get with a reliever, at least like 3 to 4. And he has not been good. He's absolutely been atrocious, and he's destroyed me. Colin McHugh, I added, dropped Spencer Patton. McHugh is just a great guy to have if you don't need wins, you know, or even if wins are a thing. I mean, like, his ratios are excellent. His Ks are good. It was a bummer that he started this last game. He would have gotten a win if he had come in after Fleming, but, you know, they could move him back, into being the second guy who pitches, the bolt guy who pitches when Fleming pitches next, you know, on this weekend. So he's going to get a couple starts, or they could stretch him out. Cause I mean, honestly, he's been absolutely phenomenal. So I love having him in leagues just to be able to plug him in. A guy that I trust, who's been just absolutely crushing it. Added Connor Joe, dropped Edward Olivares, added Rowan Wick, dropped Scott Barlow. Barlow just hasn't been getting save opportunities, and he hasn't been pitching multiple innings either. And he hasn't really been striking out that many guys. So my interest in him just waned a little bit. He did get that win. I added Owen Miller, dropped Justin Upton. I just needed a shortstop because of some injuries that were going on. Oh, this was, I have like $50 left in this league. Every single one of these bids was $2 for 6 guys. Brett Gardner dropped Harold Ramirez. I got Gardner only because of, you know, he had a great schedule, 8 games. You know, he stole a base today. He didn't get a hit, but, you know, that's fine. Rugi, again, 8 games, playing every day in that Yankees lineup. Dropped Andy Ibañez. He just, you know, he looked like he might have been losing a little bit of playing time. Rowan Wick, dropped Zach Britton. Zach Britton, man, got 4 save opportunities in the first 5 days and only converted one of them. Like, epitome of...
He went in, I think it was after the Field of Dreams game, and literally told Joe Girardi, "I am not fit to close right now. Do not put me in the ninth inning."
And then he ended up getting put in a save opportunity, because it went to extras. Added Yoel Pozo, dropped Alex Cobb, added Chad Green. That's worked out really well so far. Dropped Merrill Kelly, who's got COVID. And so who knows when he'll be back. Added Miles Mikolas and dropped Justin Upton. Mikolas was another guy that I was really targeting to add. He's supposed to pitch on Saturday against Pittsburgh, is my understanding. He threw seven in a really nice rehab outing. Oh, he's playing pitching Friday against Pittsburgh. So I was all over that. I tried to add him in as many leagues as I possibly could there. So that was that league. Those were all $2 bids. I really kind of enjoyed that. Then I added Rowan Wick, dropped Merrill Kelly, added Bailey Ober, dropped Andy Ibanez, added Connor Joe, dropped Ramon Urias, added Miles Mikolas, dropped Zach Eflin. And my last 15-teamer TGFBI added Joe Barlow, dropped Spencer Patton, added about Michael Givens. He's now gotten the last three saves for the Reds. The Reds have one of the best schedules down the stretch. They play a ton of NL Central opponents. I think it was Jeff Passan did an analysis of like who's playing the seven worst teams in baseball the most down the stretch. And the Reds, I think, were number two with 19 games against like the Cubs, the Pirates, the Marlins, like all those, the Rangers, all these teams that just are absolute dumpster fires. So he could get a ton of saves down the stretch if he's able to maintain that role. I like him a lot. Nicky Lopez, I added, dropped Alcides Escobar for a second baseman, added Yanni Hernandez, dropped Justin Upton, and then added Brett Gardner, dropped Merrill Kelly. These were all for saves, and Nicky Lopez got three stolen bases on yesterday, I think.
Nice.
So that was a nice start to the season. And then in the 12s, added Joe Barlow, 17 bucks, runner-up one, dropped Spencer Patton. Added Connor Joe, dropped Edward Olivares, added Tyler Wade, dropped Miguel Cabrera, added Joe Barlow, dropped Dylan Floro, added Aledmys Diaz, dropped Brandon Belt, added Brent Rooker, dropped Lorenzo Cain. Rooker's been playing every single day. They had seven games this week. Added Jorge Mateo, dropped Edward Olivares, added Anthony Bender, dropped Kyle Finnegan, added Bailey Ober, dropped Kyle Farmer, added Tyler Wade, dropped Andrés Giménez. And the thing with Finnegan was, he only had five games this week. He's not actually that good. He's just got access to saves. And I was really want better ratios. So I felt like that might be an upgrade, that Bender move there. But so far, not. But that's a wrap on my moves this week.
All right. Before I get to my moves, I'm tilting. It's the top of the night. They brought Jarlo Garcia in instead of Jake McGee. So this is going to be fun. Really fun.
McGee has gotten the last two saves.
I know. Like, I'm just nervous with Jarlo. And then they just misplayed a ball in the outkick. We're going to talk about moves. In TGFBI, I got Connor Joe, dropped Edward Olivares, and I picked up Brian De La Cruz, and I dropped Nick Senzel. De La Cruz is like my fourth option, so that was the one that went there. And in my OC qualifier, I grabbed Eliezer Hernandez for $4 and dropped Joe Ross. Got Carlos Hernandez, dropped Craig Kimbrell. This is a 12-teamer. I just couldn't do the Kimbrell thing anymore. I might regret that, but we'll see. Added Jaron Duran for $2, dropped Edward Olivares, and I got Sam Hilliard for $2, dropped Wilmer Flores, who's in a massive platoon now. So even Brandon Belt is in a platoon, which is crazy as we speak. In one of my satellites, Carlos Hernandez dropped Michael Wacha, added Connor Joe, dropped Edward Olivares, added Seth Brown, dropped Nick Senzel. And in my last one here, my other satellite, I added Hoster Anoa for $4, runner-up bid $3. And then I grabbed Tariq Skubal for $2, runner-up $1. Figured I'll give that a shot as he's looked better his last couple starts.
Nice little low-bid pickups there.
Yeah, that's it. I'm bargain shopping these days. Didn't get anything in Barf. I got a couple things in Tout Wars, but it's dangerous these days. And the thing is, the OC and the two satellites, I'm either first or second in those. I'm trying to like barely hang on.
Ooh.
But it's not. It's I'm.
You're, I'm are you in first or second in the OC?
I'm first in the OC.
Nice.
I've been up like 8 points all season, but it's like went down to like five yesterday.
Oh man, it's the worst.
And I'm just sitting there going, "Oh, this." Like I started sweating the second I saw it. I'm like, "Oh, here we go." Like it's gonna be a fun ride. I can't wait to lose it at the end. It'll be.
It's the worst awesome. When things are slipping. It's like when you just feel them slipping, and you feel like your team is slowing down, and you want to get them going, and you're like, "I know it's gonna happen at some point." But
it's just my pitching that. Like my offense is on fire. I have like 65 points offensively. Like the offense is fine. It's my pitching, so I'm just like grinding whatever I can get to get me some wins in that league. But it's has not been easy to say the least. Rough. All right, let's hit up some listener questions and we'll head on out of here. Our good buddy Ryan Roof from RotoWire does the bullpen blogs over there at rotowire.com. He says, do you do a season in review exercise for any teams that perform poorly? It's easy to say three of my top five picks got hurt, but everyone deals with injuries. Are there specific things you look at to determine what attributes to your team's lack of success?
I would say yes and no. I would say generally my review process probably could be better, but I like to focus on kind of the macro things, because I think the challenge is like, we oftentimes get caught up in a single league or, you know, identifying a trend. And, you know, depending on how the number of leagues you have, right? Like, you have a very small sample of leagues to work with, right? And for whatever reason, like, I think it's important to understand like what went wrong. Like, so the things that I'm thinking about, like for this year, for instance, would be not like, you know, not like something like, oh, I went with Shane Bieber in the first round. That was a big mistake or something like that. Right. But it's more like, you know, for the first time in my playing fantasy baseball, I found myself having a very difficult time getting saves, and the closing landscape changed dramatically. And then I want to like look back at my teams. And I think the most helpful thing to do is to look at your draft boards at the end of the season and just be like, what on earth?
Why,
like what happened
or something?
Yeah. I was doing that with somebody, one of the people that I share a team with. And it's just like, there was so many, we got so much wrong, and yet we're still in fifth. Mm-hmm. You know, we got so much wrong. We're still in fifth with a chance to cash and to do well. And so, for me, it's more like, okay, it's not like, oh, we made a mistake on this third round pick or on this first round pick. But for me, it's more like the landscape has changed in saves, and recognizing that we're going to make a ton of mistakes throughout a draft, particularly like whether this year is a different because of COVID and everything else is a different story. Like, that's a major question, but like, it's okay to make a mistake early on. And I also think like, I feel more confident. Like, you want to know something? I can pick a closer early on and I can still be successful. Like, I can still work that. And because what I don't want to end up is feeling the same way that I felt this year, where I hated Fab because I was always chasing closer speculations. I'm still changing closer speculations, right? And then I'm missing out on other guys. All of my attention is being sucked up on that, and it's making me a worse fantasy player. And I want to make sure that that doesn't happen. That doesn't mean that the closer that I draft is going to be the guy and he's going to be successful and be really good. But I want to know moving in that I've got two guys that are going to be, that are solidly in that role and can fail. Because then if only one of them fails, I still got a closer, right? Because I don't need as many saves. I'm not going to need as many saves as I have previously. Grabbing more pitching early, honestly. Like, that is every year what I find myself doing is just wanting more, better pitching. And you look at how successful some of the guys, and obviously there's much more that goes into that. But like Phil Dusso, for very good reason, gets a lot of credit, and he's always very heavy early on pitchers. But one guy who I've heard on a couple podcasts getting kudos, who I wanted to give a shout out to, is Dalton Del Don. Mm-hmm. He went heavy pitching. I was in a couple leagues with him and I was like, damn, like, you're going heavy, like first five picks pitching. And he is doing extremely well in all of his leagues. Now, part of that is who he picked, who he drafted, right? But it's also just like, you can make up some of the hitting, right? You can make up some of the hitting, because a lot of it, at a certain point, there's not that much difference in the skill, and it's more about the opportunity, and it's more about the lineup's position, and it's more about grinding out as many at-bats or plate appearances as you can. So like, I think it's much more for me like a macro level review, unless a team by team, because what you don't want to get sucked in is like looking back at this last year and making all of your decisions based on that. When it's just a single year, when teams, you know, do things differently, right? Like, and the fact of the matter is, like, I've complained a lot about how poorly I'm doing, but like, I'm in fourth, fifth, or sixth in every single one of my big leagues.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
And part of that is like going pitching early on and having those pitchers and things like that. So that's definitely still going to be part of what I want to do. But it's like, you know, I also have Shane Bieber on two really big teams. I also have Luis Castillo on two really big teams, you know? And so there's all these things that like, I don't want to pay too much attention to that. I want to focus on macro roster construction related things as opposed to specific player type things. anyways, that was a really long answer to it. I'm sorry.
No, like, I agree with what you're saying, because there's some of it where I know Ryan was saying he could say, well, yeah, my guys got hurt. I'm like, well, this year injuries have been disastrous to some teams. Like, I know I've had some teams that literally I've been battling to just pray to have a healthy roster, let alone a competitive roster. You'd listen to Scott Genstead mentioned in TGFBI, I think 9 of his top 10 picks have all been on, like, he's lost for large chunks of the season. You can't recover from that. That's impossible. Like, it doesn't matter. But at the same time, you got to grind it, like Ryan was saying. So basically what I want to look at once the season's over, I already know what I want to see. The teams I'm doing well in, I think I could be doing really good in if it's my pitching. It's like, what do I need to do for the wins and strikeouts? A lot of it's because I have my Giolitos or my Castillos were my aces. And when I backed them up with, have been okay with Luis Castillo and Gio, we know how that's gone. So they weren't the aces I needed. If I got an ace, things would be different. Secondly, the teams that I'm struggling in, the pitching's been okay, similar problems, but maybe some of them better, actually. My bats, I have all the steals in the world. Averages is okay, but runs, homers, and RBI have been dreadful. Absolutely. Like, homers and RBIs for sure. Like, my power production's been gone. And I look at some of the guys I drafted, and it's been really weird going, like, Christian Walker, you expected 20 to 25 homers. He's got you nothing. Like, he's nothing. Like, that kind of stuff. And you get like 3 or 4 of those guys in your roster, you're talking 100 home runs. That's a humongous switch. So did I do something wrong? So that's where it's like, you look at the board, like you said, and go, okay, when I'm going through this, was there a more quote unquote safer pick that might've got me 15 to 20 that did what it was supposed to do, where I didn't need to take the chance on maybe Walker taking the next step, stuff like that along the way, as you're saying. So that'll be the trick. And saves, I got lucky this year because I got one big one, and I was kind of trying to get a second big one or a second middle one before punting, where not everybody did that. I got lucky that they stayed healthy. Like, some of the big guys still didn't get hurt. Like, that's the bottom line. I think to win a long baseball season, you have to have a good draft, obviously. You have to be great in fab, but you also have to have the health gods on your side. Like, that's pretty simple. You can still win, obviously, without it, but you got to have the health gods on your side. So it'll be fun to look at. Like I said, I already know what I want to look at on each team. I'm waiting until the season's over to obviously look at that, but I'm very intrigued to see where I could have been different. I know Jeff Erickson talks about it. I forget who the player was, but in one of the leagues, he's like second or third in, I think, the main event or whatever. He could have had Vlad in round 5, but he took someone else that's been just like horrible.
Luke Voit.
Yeah, that's what he talks about, like, every show. And I'm like, we've all been there. We all got something like that on all of our rosters. And I'm just afraid to see which one it is right now because I have no Vlad anywhere. So yeah. I'm terrified to know who I took in that round right now. And
Luis Castillo instead of Rafael Devers for me.
Yeah, but like, just even like the Darvish hasn't been great of late, but even if I take Darvish over Castillo, like, that's huge. And that's just one of those where on paper everything probably pointed to Darvish, but in my head I'm thinking, okay, upside, I think Castillo can take the jump. I should have known. Like, we're gonna get the Castillo year at the end, but it's not the year that you want in that draft pick, is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, it'll be fun to kind of look back at for sure, Ryan. Dusty Wagner, another great fantasy player, another great NFBC player. He says, who are some September call-ups you expect to play down the stretch? And don't you dare say Edward Olivares.
Well, it's actually going to be really interesting because rosters only expand to 28 this September. They're not the full 40-man situation. So it's going to be really interesting. And there was an article, you know, about Bobby Witt Jr. and whether he was going to be called up, that was on KansasCity.com, I think. And obviously he's like one that jumps out as like, this would be the guy that you'd really want to come up. But they were talking about, like, they've only got 2 more roster spots. Bobby Witt Jr. is not on the 40 man. They've got 1 opening on the 40 man, and they've got to get Prado or Melendez on there because they're Rule 5 eligible next year. You know, 2 of their prospects were doing really well. They're probably going to want to add another arm, you know, to save taxing the arms of their other pitchers, maybe a catcher for Salvi. So, you know, that's the thing, is it's going to be very different than previous Septembers, because I think it's going to be much more about those types of roster decisions than it is going to be about, you know, there's so many teams that are so far out of it, who's going to be there. So I don't know. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. is the one that jumps out at me. I'm holding on to him in one league. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do that for, but you know, he's, you know, he could be just a difference maker. He's mashing everywhere he goes. He's stealing bases. He's doing everything. And the Royals have been pretty good, Olivares, you know, notwithstanding, in terms of like letting guys come up when they're ready. And maybe not playing as many games. At least that's my narrative that I have in my own head. So I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Shane Baz, you know, is one that stands out, like, on Tampa Bay. You know, he's one of the best pitchers in the minors right now. It seems like it's just a matter of them getting him ready to kind of show up and be on the scene. And I imagine just with their pitching issues, like, not in terms of, like, not being good, because they've got enough pieces to mix and match, but having another guy that could throw 3-4 elite innings, I think will be really important there. So I guess those are two guys that are kind of jumping out at me. Honestly, I don't think it's going to be a huge year for that, though, because it's a very different situation than it has been in previous years. And we're not going to see that huge call up of everybody, because they're going to be working on 40-man roster issues and getting arms to fill in for their starters who they're going to sit in September and all that stuff. So maybe it's going to be pitchers that'll be most interesting. Yeah.
I think you'll get pitchers. Those are a couple of guys. I think Vidal Brujan might get another shot with the Rays. He's actually crushing it again in AAA. So I wouldn't be shocked if he gets another call up, even though they're playing good right now offensively. So I don't think they really have any holes there, but he might get a chance to at least sit on the bench and maybe get some run. But you said 28 man rosters, a lot of the teams that would have called guys up, the Nats, the Cubs, the Pirates, they've already done this because they threw in the towels. So how many more spots do they have? I think a lot of it will be pitching, because so many of these teams in contention could use another bullpen arm or two, or another, like, you know, opener situation. So you're going to see a lot more pitching. So I like the Shane Baz call quite a bit, actually. Obviously not available in NFBC leagues till he pitches, but he's a guy that's got the upside to, like you mentioned, Colin McHugh for the Rays. He could put up some numbers like that for the rest of the year and be quite productive. So players like that, I think, is the guys you're looking for, but I don't see a ton really standing out unless some team wants to make a big splash. But, like, you look at the Giants. They're already so deep in platoon issue, like, things. They're not calling up Ramos or someone. And if they do, he's not going to play every day to be have an impact. So, like, an impactful call-up, I don't see too many of them happening this time around.
And one thing I'll mention, too, is that the minor league season, because it got the late start, it actually goes all the way through October.
Yep.
So it's not even about getting guys games. Like, they'll probably get more games staying in AAA or staying in AA. So the incentives just aren't that there this year. For there to be a ton of difference makers, I don't think, in September.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very good point on that one. A couple more listener questions here. Our buddy MS at SMMS79 says, I have my best team I've ever assembled on paper, but I am plummeting in the standings because I bet on the wrong stars. After an off season with weeks of prep, the luck factor is crushing my soul. How do you keep your head up when you do everything right and it just doesn't work out for you?
I think you just try to do everything you can, you know, that's what you can do. And I think, you know, one thing that happens over the course of the season is, and it's just like happens to player performance, it's waves, right? Your team's super good. Team's not that good. Team's super good. Team's not that good, right? There's like a lot of kind of medium, and there's some peaks and there's some valleys, and it's all like, you know, and, but the thing is, like, what regression tells us is that those players, as long as them being super awful is not like their true talent level, that over the longer course of the season, that will show up. And so, you know, like for me, I'm just having a really difficult time right now in one of my leagues with home runs, and I had a huge lead and it's getting whittled away and my offense is really down. And I was in a really, really good position in a really, really important league. And I see that margin trickling down. And it's like, I got to make the best decisions every week, try everything that I can. And the fact of the matter is like, statistically, like, having guys perform that poorly and not hit home runs over that period of time just won't happen. And so I'll have a big week, I'll have a big 2 weeks, and then that will even out with the bad week that I've had. And I just hope that it can carry it through. So, you know, to quote Frozen 2, you know, and Anna in Frozen 2, just do the next right thing. Right. In all of your roster decisions, just do the next right thing.
And then
and that's all you can do, right?
Frozen run, just let it go.
And let it go. Exactly. Yeah. That's what we do Monday through Thursday and then Friday through Sunday. We just let it go. That's a great one. But yeah, I mean, this is the game. This is the game. And you just try to hold with it and get excited when your guys go do well.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do. Like, you can put yourself in the best possible scenarios. You can make the right fab moves. You can set your lineups. Sometimes it just doesn't work out for you. That's the shame of it. But I would take solace, and I know it probably doesn't help the matter of the fact, in that you did the prep. You did the work. You got the team you're looking for. You became a better fantasy player. Take that in the next season. Keep building on that. Like, eventually it will break for you. If you are putting those type of teams together, you're going to start winning more often than you're going to lose. That's going to happen. If you put yourself in the position to win, more often than not, you're going to win. So, or at least contend for the money type thing. So keep that in mind. I wouldn't let it crush you. I get it. It sucks. Like I hinted at the OC that I'm in first at. I'm seeing it slip. I'm going to be like, it was TGFBI a couple years ago. I was in the top three all season. I finished the year in sixth out of the last week, the last like couple days. It slipped, and I was so angry because I wanted at least a top third. And there's no money on the line. It's just full pride. And that made me like so angry. But what am I going to do? Like, it's just, that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. And that's a credit to your league mates also. They put good teams together. And that's a good league to be in because it's competitive. So it sucks, but I would try to take the positive approach if you can. So be my two cents. All right. I believe this is our last question, but it's like a no, we have two more questions. But Dave Petraziello has like a three-parter here. So try to keep up with me. In my main event satellite, he's dying to play the main. I am in second, but I'm 21.5 points out. Runs, home runs, RBI are my worst. Rendon didn't work out. At this point, if applicable, high upside guys with risk is probably the way to go right now. This week I got Brinson, McCormick, Joe Barlow, as I also need saves, and now have Barlow paired with Iglesias and half a closer in Bender. I probably give myself less than 10% chance, but I'll obviously grind it out. I like to think that your pod and the RotoWire pod and Scott and Jeff has helped me be even that close, so thanks. Also, my two SPs in the first four round strategy worked well with Bueller in the second round and Burns in the fourth. Trey Turner in the first two. I dread going back to the draft board to see who I could have taken instead of Rendon. I guess he's wondering if the risky approach is the way to go. That's what I got out of that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're handling it right, Dave. I mean, that's what you got to do, right? So you're telling me there's a chance.
Yep.
There's a
chance. Go for the Hail Mary. Hail Mary.
Go for those guys.
But Hail Mary.
and you don't even have to get caught up in upside. Just choose the best hitter like every single week. Try to do that. Like McCormick is a great example, right? Brinson, he's playing seven games. Like try to maximize those plate appearances. Try to maximize those ceiling guys.
Stuff like that. Yeah. But it goes back to when we talked about Brinson at the beginning. Ride the hot streak, dump him right away, do the next guy, do that for the next 5 to 6 weeks. Just see what you can do. You're not going to hit on all of them, but if you churn and burn like three guys on your roster, maybe you hit on two a week, you pick up some ground. You never know, but not doing it, you're never going to have a chance. So, and in a qualifier, it's your first or your last, basically. So you don't care about second place. If you screw it up and you finish in fifth, like you might have got your money back if you finish second, but in reality, you're going for the gusto. So if you finish in fifth, so be it. You got to go for it. You can't just sit there and watch the guy run away with it. So that's my two cents.
Yeah. Right. And one thing to remember is take a look at where that guy can fall.
Yes.
And
pick on those standings.
Yeah. And because there's a lot that's going to happen the last 6 weeks of the season. There's a lot. Like
a lot of guys are
going to stop pitching. Yeah. Yeah. Like the lineups are going to get crazier. Like there's going to be so many opportunities to both go up and to go down. Yeah. And so you'd be surprised, I think, how much movement there's going to be.
It's going to be a wild, end of the season. Wild few weeks, especially with so many teams still in play. It's going to be interesting. John Wilder has our last question of the evening. What was the one player you said would have a big year in comparison to ADP projections and got right this year?
Let me check out my player shares here. If your draft season feels so long ago.
Yeah, it does.
Compared who was going late in drafts or
you thought would basically a player you thought would outperform ADP that has outperformed ADP.
Yuli Gurriel. I have Yuli in 12 leagues. I got him a ton. I think he's done really well and I'm enjoying him. I mean, you know, Sal Perez didn't go late.
I was going to say, is that a cheating one? Because that's one that stands out. I mean,
Jesus, the dude just crushes. Brent Suter, I actually have in 10 leagues, which has been super helpful. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah.
JP
Crawford's been good too.
JP Crawford's been good. I'm trying to go through my rankings kind of quickly to see who stood out as a potential guy that jumped a lot.
Robbie
Reese Hoskins got hurt. He was good. I don't know if he outproduced his value, but he was good. It's a tricky one because some of these guys, Yoan Moncada has hit for no power. That's been mad. I had Kyle Tucker as my seventh outfielder. I don't know if that was around ADP or not. It might have been, but I was pretty high on him in respect, but yeah, it's an interesting question for sure. The last few weeks might help determine it even more, but I was high on Jorge Soler. It's finally starting to look good. Didn't look good for a long time, but yeah, I'm with you. I think that Yuli Gurriel one's a good call on your side. I had Trey Mancini pretty high, so I guess I'll go that route. But it was tough. Who was the guy that you were really high on that has not produced?
Oh man,
that's the other part of his question. That's not for me.
Really high on that has not produced. I'll take injury out of the equation. I'm looking. I mean, I'd love to say Giolito just because I had him so high up, but like he hasn't been god awful. You know, he's got like a 3.8 ERA and a 1.13 WHIP or something with 140 strikeouts. He's been pretty good. A guy I have a lot of that has not been good.
I'll say one. I don't have a lot of him.
Go.
I don't have a lot of him, but I had him ranked as my fourth shortstop off the board. And yes, now injury has come into play, but even before injury, he sucked. That's Francisco Lindor. Like he's been, he has crushed teams that have taken him. So that'd be one guy that kind of stood out as an oops situation. But one guy, okay, a guy I was big on, I'll just say Gleyber Torres. Like I was always Gleyber Torres or Javi Baez for me at like that ninth or 10th shortstop area. And obviously Gleyber has not panned out at all. So that's one I will take for sure. Gleyber Torres will be one I'll take.
That's the one that I was leaning to as well. Because a lot of it has been injury related or that I drafted them so far back in drafts, you know, that it hasn't really made too much of a difference or injuries. And, you know, you just can't do that. You can't do that. It's been a while since we talked about Vlad Jr. On the podcast. Bubba, and I just want to say it's been like a little while since Vlad Jr. hit a home run. And I'm wondering, I'm just wondering if Marcus Semien will end up finishing the season on the player rater higher than Vlad Jr. will. And I wonder if like I get a reprieve for having so much Marcus Semien on my teams, like in recognizing that hitting on like a Marcus Semien at where he was going in drafts is more valuable than hitting on Vlad Jr. where he was going in drafts.
I think it should count. I'll give it to you.
I'm doing that just to spur another Vlad Jr. home run.
I'm not sure if it was the player, the Razzball player rater or the Fangraphs dollar calculator, but offensive play or just players in general, top 10 producers. It had to be the player rater right now because DeGrom wasn't on it because of his recent stint. But there were three Blue Jays in the top five. And I believe, I want to say there was the two Braves in the back five. Like, so half of it was Braves and Jays. That's pretty crazy when you break it down. So that's something I think was going to be a fun conversation in the offseason. And I know I've heard some other people talk about it. The new approach might be with some of these offensive juggernauts, do you just stack your team? Because I've never thought about it. I do it in DFS all the time. Never thought about it in season long.
Totally. And
it's interesting because I think it was what Hinkleman or one of the OGs basically took like all these Reds players and like all one other team. That was like his focus. He was jumping ADPs to make sure he got them all. And he's winning like everything. So yeah, it might have been the perfect storm. It might have been the perfect storm, but it's interesting to dive into maybe going forward.
So let's see. We're going to take a look. 15-team league, most valuable players. So Vlad Jr. is number three, but Marcus Semien is number six.
Okay, so I don't know what they were using.
And Bichette is number four to your stacking.
Yeah.
To your stacking
point. Get all three of them. Just think about it. And look where Semien was going. You didn't even have to pay a high price for him. You had to pay for Bichette. You kind of had to pay for Vlad. Next year, you're going to have to pay. You might not be able to get both. They might go both in the first round, or that's going to be tricky.
Vlad's going to go in the first round next year.
Yeah, and Bichette might go late first, early second in a 15-teamer. So you're probably not going to get them on the same team.
It's going to be nuts.
But we will have plenty of time to talk about all that.
And just so people know, I'm not really talking about Vlad. I know that's a huge L. I know it's a huge L already, but
I think people know
that. Just trying to like just kind of get in there the fact that like the point is like hitting those value guys, which clearly hasn't done enough for me in a lot of my leagues, but
it's a fun year. We got a few more weeks to go. Keep grinding, everybody. As we started the show out, Toby was saying it's like the slip and slide type thing. Like, hang on, keep it coming. We got a handful, 5 or 6 more weeks of Fab to go. Like 5 more, I think. So it's 26 total weeks. So 5 more weeks of Fab to keep cranking out there for you. We're almost into September before you know it. So hang on. Good luck, everybody. Check out Toby on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. I'm at BDAntric. This is another episode of Bubba and the Batflip, episode 93. Catch you guys next time.
Better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.